Hello and welcome back to the Daily Liberty Podcast. It's another week and here I am for another episode, and I'm glad. I really enjoyed doing it last week. I was a little apprehensive, but it was great fun and I've had some great feedback for that, so thank you, but I'll talk more about that later. And at the time of recording, it is Monday the 13th of March and it's nearly 9 a.m, so this is an early start for me. But last night or this morning or however you want to look at the time zones or whatever, it was the Oscars, so I know this podcast is going to go out a week pretty much after the Oscars have happened, and maybe you'll, by this point you've already known who's the winners are and that, all that sort of thing. But here are my thoughts on the Oscars 2023. So I have made some brief notes on my phone this morning because I didn't plan to talk about the Oscars, but I thought, oh, do you know what, I'll throw it in there. Alrighty, so it was big night for our man Brendan Fraser, who won Best Actor, and this was so well deserved. I wasn't surprised by the Oscar winners for this year, especially as I'm going to go into them. Yeah, not surprised, but in a good way. You know, it was different winners. It was something nice, and it just has a more wholesome feel to it this year. So we've got Brendan Fraser for Best Actor. We've got Michelle Yeoh for the first Asian to win the Best Actress. So that's a pretty big achievement. Of course, for her role in Everything Everywhere All at Once, which just kind of near enough cleaned the board for the Oscars this year. I haven't actually even seen the film, but I guess, you know, it's now an Oscar winner. I really have no excuses not to see it. Okay, and then we got Jamie Lee Curtis, who won Best Supporting Actress, again, for Everything Everywhere All at Once. And guess what? Ki-hee Kwan won Best Supporting Actor for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Seems to be every Oscar all in one night, almost. So that was pretty impressive, and it did, in fact, it won 7 Oscars in total, and no other film has won the 3 Best Acting Awards, well, for the Best Actors, and then I think it was also Best Screenplay and Best Director. I definitely should have fact-checked that one, but hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But yeah, it's absolutely done amazingly, and I feel excited, because although I didn't watch the Oscars, you know, I've seen highlights on the news this morning and things, and I was watching a couple of clips. In fact, one that I did watch was an emotional reunion between Harrison Ford and Ki-hee Kwan, who, I apologise if I'm pronouncing his name incorrectly, but obviously he played Short Round in Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom back in 1984, and they had this really emotional little reunion, and I was just watching that before, in fact, like seconds before I start recording this episode, and wow, that got me a little bit emotional. But you can see, like, you know, with some actors, when they do their acceptance speeches, it's all like, yeah, here's a little pre-prepared script that some writer wrote for me. But, you know, with these guys, it just felt genuine. Either they've got really good writers for them, or it was something really heartfelt. So that was just really nice to see. Like, you know, where he said, I thought I had nothing more to give, or something along those lines. And, like, wow, here he is. Because, you know, he kind of dipped out of Hollywood for a little bit, came back, and it's absolutely amazing. And, well, if you're a fan of his, which I'm sure you are, he will be in season 2 of the Loki series coming out later this summer. So if you're a Marvel fan, he'll be in that as well. So the best animated feature was Pinocchio. And then best cinematography was All Quiet on the Western Front. The Whale for Brendan Fraser won best makeup and hair. Black Panther Wakanda Forever won costume design. Angela Bassett was kind of suspected to win best supporting actress for her role in Wakanda Forever. I mean, but she just missed out to that on to Jamie Lee Curtis, who, when I saw her reaction to getting her Oscar, like, you could tell she did not expect it. She really thought Angela Bassett was going to win that one. And then the best international film was All Quiet on the Western Front, which also won best production design. And then for visual effects, it was Avatar: The Way of the Water. I'm not really surprised. I haven't seen Avatar, but even from the trailer, you can just tell the visual effects gone into that film, unparalleled. And as I said, Everything Everywhere All at Once also won the best original screenplay as well. Oh, and best editing. And best director, that's it. Yeah, I knew there was a few more there. And whilst we're on the topic of things that happened today for me, but a week ago for you, was the final episode of season 1 of The Last of Us. I'll be watching it later this evening, but I will be discussing my thoughts on it with a very special guest in hopefully next week's episode, so stay tuned for that. But from one apocalypse show to another, we've got some Walking Dead related news, because the Daryl Dixon spin-off has been given a new name called Raise the Dead. I don't know if it's going to be called just Raise the Dead or The Walking Dead, Raise the Dead. Probably, but then again, why do they... It's my issue with using the word dead again in the title. Be more creative. Although I think even the word... Well, even the title Raise the Dead is just very awkward. I don't know. I think they need to hire somebody new in their TV show title departments, because they're just not coming up with good stuff. Like, they need to be more original. Stop trying to link everything to the, like, I know obviously the main show is, but you know, Daryl Dixon is iconic enough. People know who he is. So you didn't need to call it The Walking Dead Daryl Dixon. You don't need to call it The Walking Dead Raise the Dead. I think if it's just Raise the Dead, that would be a good turning point for them. But then again, they were also going to call the Negan and Maggie spin-off, you know, Isle of the Dead. So I wouldn't be surprised if the title changes again. But yeah, they need to come up with something more original, I think. All right, so I just want to give another big thanks to everyone who tuned in to the last episode from last week, whether you watched it on the YouTube channel or you streamed us on Spotify or Amazon Music or anywhere else, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. It's just been great and I really appreciate it. So to say thank you from me, I'm going to give you 30 days of Amazon Music Unlimited totally free. So all you got to do is click on the link in the description if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're streaming elsewhere, check out the link in our Instagram bio where you can get 30 days of Amazon Music Unlimited totally free. Yeah, that's a nice little treat for you. So you can listen to, you know, thousands of podcasts, hundreds of thousands, in fact, and 100 million songs without any ads. You can download them to stream, you know, to stream later when you're on the go, that sort of thing. So that sounds pretty perfect to me. So yeah, make the most of that offer. Check out all the links in the description and on our Instagram page. So unlike last week, I have kind of structured some notes for this episode because I'm going into this knowing what I want to say and I've got certain things I want to talk about. So I haven't written a script or anything, just a few notes. I might occasionally glance at my phone. But because I went to see Ant-Man last week? Well, yeah, for you guys, it's so weird doing a podcast like almost a week in advance here. But last week for you, a few days ago for me, I did finally go and see Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So I went to the cinema with my family and it was nice. You know, we were going to see some other films, but in the end we went to see Ant-Man. I'm pretty sure I haven't been to the cinema since Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, so almost a year ago, which is really crazy, honestly. Since the last time I went to my local cinema, they have upgraded all their chairs. They're these really comfortable reclining leather chairs. Ooh, that was a really nice treat, and that alone has convinced me to take more solo cinema trips. So yeah, good chair upgrades. And it was, you know, just included in the price, which is pretty great. I can't complain there. So, of course, when you go at the cinema, we saw a few trailers for some other upcoming movies, one of them being John Wick 4, which I think I'm definitely going to see in the cinema. I might go with my dad and my brother and things. Yeah, I'm sure they'll be up for that. But another trailer, in fact, there's quite a few trailers I've seen recently that I want to talk about. But another one I saw while I was at the cinema was for the new film based on the Nike Air Jordans. Is it Nike? Do you say Nike or Nike? I say Nike. In the film, they said Nike. I don't know. It's like tomato, tomato. But then you don't say bike or bikey, do you? I don't know. I've always said Nike. Or is it Adidas or Adidas? How do you pronounce these words? Porsche or Porsche? I've always heard it both ways. I just don't know which way is correct. But anyway, the film is called Air. And this isn't something I typically see in general or let alone watch in the cinema. But I just found the trailer really enjoyable. And I really like the cast. Jason Sudeikis, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck. I think he's also directed it or written it. One of those two. Viola Davis is in it as well, and it just seems quite good, although I don't think anyone I know is going to be interested in that, so if I do take a solo cinema trip soon, it will probably be forced to see this film Air. That does seem pretty cool. I did see the trailer for Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves. I'm still on the fence about it. It seems fun. Weirdly enough, if you asked me like a couple of years ago, I'd be more likely to see that film in cinemas than the film on the Nike Air Jordans, but I don't think I am going to see D&D in cinemas. I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to like it. I mean, I might, but I don't know. This is something about it that I'm just not 100% sold on. Oh, wow. I've seen so many trailers lately. There was another one, which I was going to mention last week, but I forgot. It was for I think this film is coming out in cinemas, or it might be a streaming service film. I can't keep up these days. I know some of them that I'm going to talk about in a minute are streaming service films, but the film Paint with Owen Wilson as this Bob Ross-like character, and films are getting really simple with their titles these days, just one word, because that's cool. That gets the message across. That's all we need, Paint. But it seems pretty fun. I think that one's an Apple TV. No, wait, is it? I'm getting confused. I can't remember where this film is. But either way, it seems fun. I like Owen Wilson. I'll probably see it at some point. And then this film, which I'm definitely sure is an Apple TV Plus original film, Ghosted, with Chris Evans and Ana de Armas. So I saw this trailer the other day. I didn't see it at the cinema. I think it was just on like YouTube or Instagram or something. And it seems really fun. And, you know, it's like a guy falls in love with a girl who has secret double life, and she's some sort of spy, and he gets caught up in all the shenanigans. It just seems really fun, something to enjoy. But yeah, I love both of those actors. I fell in love with Ana de Armas since I saw her in Knives Out. She was brilliant in No Time to Die. Yet another trailer. This is the last movie trailer I'm going to talk about this week, don't worry. But it's for a new Jennifer Lawrence comedy coming out in the summer called No Hard Feelings. It's an R-rated or a 15-rated film. I can't remember too much about the plot from the trailer, but I think it's something to do with Jennifer Lawrence, who has to seduce this 19-year-old guy for some reason to get some money from his parents or something. I can't remember, but he's really not interested. Like, who would turn down Jennifer Lawrence? This guy would. Not me. I wouldn't. And another trailer I saw just before shooting this podcast episode, actually, was for a TV one, and it's Only Murders in the Building Season 3. Ah, the love for this show I have is an unexpected love. You know, love finds you mysterious ways, and when I decided to watch this show, it found me. Selena Gomez, Martin Short, Steve Martin, and joining them for Season 3 is Meryl Streep and Paul Rudd. Yes, so as we know from the tease at the end of Season 2, if you haven't seen it, spoiler warning, Paul Rudd is the guy who dies, but I'm sure there'll be plenty more twists. Maybe he doesn't die after all, and it's some ploy to catch the real murderer for something else. That seems like something the show would do. I wouldn't be surprised if Meryl Streep turns out to be involved with the killer in some way, or maybe that's just like a, you know, that's not meant to throw you off, but it does seem interesting, and the trailer said coming soon, so hopefully that is coming within the next couple months or so, because I'm really looking forward to it. Alright, so here we are, time to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. I went with my family, who... Yeah, my dad is a casual Marvel movie watcher. We kind of binge-watched all the MCU movies before Endgame and things. And then the rest of the family, you know, they're like casual. My sister had already seen the film a few days before, so she came and saw it twice. So I guess she must have enjoyed it. But I think I took the most away from it. You know, I'd heard mixed things about this film going into it. And after watching it, and even during it, I was kind of thinking, yeah, I can understand why this is getting so mixed reviews, even from Marvel fans and casual moviegoers as well. So, the first note I made here is that it took too long to get to the point. There was so much, almost like TV show writing, where the main character, in this case Janet, is keeping some secret, where she's has something, you know, where she's related to the villain in some way, which of course we find out she is. But it's like, oh... You know, I never told you this, or oh, I should have told you. And then, like, this comes up with like two characters in the film. It's like, oh, I should have told you this. Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you about these guys. Oh my God, Janet, all this could have been avoided if you just told your family. You know, don't go to the quantum realm. There's this really bad guy called Kang. We should avoid him. Okay, cool, we won't go there. There you go, job done. But no, keep some secrets. So Cassie ends up building this machine to send a signal down to the quantum realm, which ends up, you know, sucking them in because Kang's found the signal when he knows it's Janet, and they have to... Yeah, so the group all gets split up. And despite the film being called Ant-Man and the Wasp, Wasp didn't do much. If anything, the main characters were Scott and Cassie. So, yeah, like it's like she was a supporting character in her own film, which I guess it's more of a titling marketing gimmick. I suppose Ant-Man is the main character. So, yeah, she should have had a bigger role to play. Okay, so there was a moment in the film where... Cassie revealed she had a suit all along to save them at this specific moment in time. But there were moments earlier in the film where her and Scott were like being chased and under attack from these quantum realm alien creature things, where she should have used her suit. I don't know why she decided to wait. It's not like she... How could you forget you have that with you? But it's this whole thing like, oh, yeah, by the way, I've got my own suit. And Scott's like, what? You have a suit? And it's like, yeah. And I was like, I didn't want to tell you because I knew this is how you'd react. Well, you were nearly killed moments ago. Why didn't you use it then? That's more important. So that was a bit odd. It's a nice looking suit. It's kind of the same Ant-Man and the Wasp design vibes things. So I've kind of written my notes in a not very organized way. And I don't know if they're written in order of the events of the film. It's just kind of all over the place. I was in a rush writing these down. So Bill Murray, of course he's in it. Nice audience surprise. Well, I think he might have been in a trailer, and he's definitely had a poster at this point, so maybe it wasn't a surprise to everybody, but I thought he was going to have a much bigger role than he did. He was basically in like one scene, and then, well, I don't know if he was killed, but he was basically attacked by this alien squid thing, which I think it's implied he was eaten by it, but I don't remember seeing it, so maybe he could return one day. But yeah, he was a fun guy, played the role well. I just thought it was a waste of the actor. And I really thought he was going to have a bigger role. But if Lego weren't going to make any sets on this film, which I'm not sure if they are, but they might in like a year's time or something, they were going to make just one, which they probably would. I want them to make the ship that Bill Murray's character uses and which is later stolen by Hank and Janet, etc. I think it's a really cool design, although I'm not quite sure how Lego would pull it off. I don't know, I just really liked it. And it's used throughout a lot of the film, piloted by Hank, where he has to put his hand in this weird, like, goo tube things. And yeah, he goes, like, his whole arm is just inside this alien thing that controls the ship. That might be a weird request for a set, and it's mostly the ship, but for the minifigures to include, I want Hank, because he's piloting the ship at this time, Janet, because she's also there, MODOK, which I'll get onto in a moment, as a buildable character, not a big figure or anything, but a buildable brick-built thing. Kang is also in the scene, and Scott and Hope as well. This is the specific moment I'm picturing when I saw this. I think it's just after Scott and Hope have retrieved Kang's energy core thingy, and then Hank is in the ship, and Kang has Cassie at this time, and they're kind of around this like little debris of some rocks and broken machinery or whatever it was. Scott's like, we had a deal, Kang, and then Kang says something and disappears, whatever. MODOK comes along to attack Hank and the ship, but is rescued by some very smart ants, of course. I would like a Cassie minifigure, but she wasn't in this specific moment in time that I'm thinking of when I picture this. I think she was in like a cell still, as she was captured by Kang. I just thought I'd mention that because I do, you know, I like Lego, and I do have a Lego YouTube channel, Daily Weekly Build, so if you're into that, do check it out. Link will be in the description, and I'll just type it up on YouTube. So yeah, as I mentioned, MODOK, he was wasted. When we did see Bill Murray's character, he did set MODOK up in a really nice way, in a nice tease. It was like, oh yeah, they've sent the hunter. What does MODOK stand for again? A mechanized organism designed only for killing. And it's like, ooh, it's like, he's not a man, he's not a machine, but he's going to find your friends, he's going to kill them, because Kang sent him already. And then Scott and MODOK, who turns out to be Darren Cross. But yeah, he was just wasted. He had some cool moments, but in the end, like most characters, he was turned into a comic relief side gag, where him and Cassie shared some moments where he was like, Cassie was like, oh, don't be a dick. He's like, but how? It's too late. Just before he was about to die, he was like, actually, no, I'm going to be a good guy, and I'm an Avenger now. And everyone was like, what? Huh? And then, of course, he died. Yeah, I guess he kind of helped. Speaking of characters turning into comic relief, of course, there was some weird alien that was funny, with this weird, blobby, gooey guy who doesn't have holes, then gets shot and then gets holes. And the guy who can read the minds, and like, they didn't really serve much purpose to the plot. I'm kind of getting bored of that now, and I bet in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 there's going to be more. They think that it appeals to the kids and the casual audiences, but I think even they are getting bored of these gags now. Like, there was a few laughs in the cinema, but, you know, it's nothing we haven't seen before. It's just the same thing done over and over again. And I think for the casual audiences, 99% of this film, except from the very beginning and the very end, was set in the quantum realm. Something different to see, but I think for a casual audience, they just got lost. There was too much going on for them to really enjoy it, and that's kind of the vibe I got from my family, who were like, what is going on? I think it might have been hard to place in this film, but it might have been better if there was some Earthbound-based action just for the casual audience to kind of relate to it a bit better. But it was kind of funny because when the film did end, my family left before the credit scenes. Like, they were all getting up because the lights start to come on, everything's it's over, apart from the real Marvel fans who stick through it when the lights go back down to play the clips. And I was like, I'll meet you out there. I'm going to watch these. I've already heard about what these end credit scenes are, and I've seen some leaked footage, but I wanted to see it for myself. So they all left, and I just sat there, and I was like, yeah, this is all right. Maybe I could do a cinema trip by myself. So I thought that was pretty funny, those Marvel rookies. A lot of people were saying that this film sets up Avengers Kang Dynasty, which of course it does. And I briefly touched on this in last week's episode, where I think people are thinking that Marvel movies are beginning to turn into like TV episodes, where the Avengers Kang Dynasty is going to be the season finale, which I suppose you could look at it that way. Even for Marvel fans and casual moviegoers, you want people to be able to just come in, watch it, leave with a completed story. Yes, it ends with them defeating Kang, but then Scott's like, is he really dead? He told us bad things were coming. Did I do the right thing? I like that how it plays on his mind. They did explain Janet's backstory, and, you know, there was some mentions of the Avengers and all that thing, so you could kind of go into it without knowing much other stuff. But to understand more of the payoffs, you really had to have seen previous films, not just the Ant-Man films, but probably, you know, the Avengers Endgame and Infinity War and all that as well. And just on an interesting side note, there were more curse words or foul language or have you, swear words or whatever you want to call it, in this film that I expected. Obviously, it was only like I think it was a 12 or a 12A rating in the UK. So it's nothing extreme. There was no F words or anything, but it was a really strange observation because, you know, they said holy shit or dick quite a few times. I was like, ah. But it almost became predictable, like Hank said holy shit about 5 times in that film every time he was shocked, which I understand. He's in a new surrounding, but it was just like the same reaction for every single thing. You know, I'm not complaining about it. It's just a weird observation that I made. That was all. A few people were unsure when they recasted Cassie, because she was played by a different actress for her brief scenes in Avengers Endgame. But I think Catherine Newton, who plays her now, is absolutely fantastic. She really impressed me with the way she played Cassie, and I'm looking forward to seeing her in future MCU movies. Whether or not they're setting up Young Avengers or anything like that, there is a focus on younger heroes. She's going to be one of them. But the last little note I made on Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania here, again, not quite in order, because I already talked about the ending earlier, but here we go, back to talking about the ending. I read somewhere that the original planned ending was for Scott and Hope to be stuck in the quantum realm because, you know, the others managed to get out, and that almost happened. You almost think, oh my god, because they build this portal, they manage to get back home. Scott is fighting Kang kind of hand to hand, almost beating him actually. And then, you know, Hope, Cassie, Janet and Hank, they all get sucked back through. They're all fine. And then Scott's left behind. It's like, oh god, what do we do? Hope goes back in, she helps him, but then the portal closes and they... There is this moment where they almost accept it because they know that Cassie and Hank and Janet, they're home safe. And, you know, Kang is defeated, but we're stuck in the quantum realm. Hey, you know, I've been stuck here before. We'll get out. They'll come rescue us. I like the idea that in the characters' heads, for a moment, they thought it was going to be a while before that they were going to get out. You know, there are communities and civilizations down there. They just help these freedom fighters overthrow the, you know, the evil ruler. But then seconds later, the portal opens back up, and then Scott and Hope return home. It's not really implied how long it took Cassie to rebuild this little portal device because it was broken. So I don't know if... It seemed like it was instantly, which I hope it wasn't, because it makes it too easy to get to the quantum realm and do all these things if she can just make this device just like that and, hey, we're back. And then you got another montage similar to the one at the beginning of the film where they're celebrating Cassie's not birthday but his birthday to make up for all the ones Scott missed. And they're all having a nice meal and Scott's, you know, getting recognized and everything. But, you know, while Scott's walking down the road enjoying life, he has these thoughts like, oh, yeah, did I do the right thing? Is Kang still out there? You know, he said, oh, if you stop me now, bad things are coming. Like, should I be worried? But he's like, actually, nah, it'll be fine. Or is it? I like that. And it's going to, hopefully next time we see Scott, that it's kind of going to drive him a bit paranoid, almost similar to what it did with Tony Stark with the whole Thanos thing, you know, with the PTSD. I don't want him to kind of rehash that storyline, but I'd like to see elements of that play on Scott when we next see him, which I probably won't be until the next Avengers film at this point. So I'd like him to not go crazy, but just be a bit more prepped with quantum realm stuff, maybe. I think that'd be pretty interesting, because he's usually a happy guy who brushes things off, which he kind of did. But when Kang comes back around and he's there, he's gonna be like, I had a bad feeling about this and I was right. Those are my thoughts on Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. Obviously, the post-credit scenes, the first one was the Council of Kangs, almost. Them being like, oh, the Exiled One was defeated, and they're, you know, the Avengers are beginning to touch the multiverse, and they're learning more ways, we have to stop them. And then the second one being a clip directly out of Loki Season 2, where Loki and Mobius have travelled back in time, I think it's like late 1800s, early 1900s, where they're at this kind of science convention, and there is a Kang variant, Victor Timely, who's there presenting his ideas of ways to control time, which would be interesting. I mean, we didn't see Kang die at the end of the film. We kind of saw him get sucked into, you know, this energy thing. Is he out there? Is he dead? Probably not. Will we see this variant again? I would like to think so. Will this variant be the one who's the villain in the Avengers Kang Dynasty? It would make sense. We can relate to it a bit more because we've already seen this guy and he's, you know, he's fueled up on revenge. So hopefully we do. I mean, if it's just another variant, like, I'd like to see more variants. That's a pretty interesting concept, but if every time it's a new variant, how can we have the weight of like, oh, well, if they kill him, another one's just going to come along, which I guess is kind of the thing with Kang. But I think for the casual audience, they need some familiarity with it. Well, that's just my thoughts on Ant-Man. But yeah, let me know what you thought. Have you seen the film? Wasn't as good as I'd hoped. Wasn't a bad film. Somewhere in the middle, I think, which has kind of been the same for Marvel's films recently. That was the beginning of Phase 5, but even for Phase 4 as well, they're kind of middle ground. So hopefully they start ramping back up again. That's what we want to see. So another quick thing, whilst I went to the cinema, you know, I thought I'd treat myself to some snacks. I got a milkshake, some popcorn, and, you know, I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. This is what I usually do when I get to the cinema. With a milkshake, I had some toppings, some chocolate Cadbury Dairy Milk pieces, although they should rename them to bottomings or something, because they just sank to the bottom. And then because the milkshake was so cold, the chocolate went hard, and I had a paper straw. And, you know, 2 hours into a film, you can't suck up hard chocolate through a paper straw that's gone soggy. So I finished the milkshake, and by the end of the thing, obviously all the milkshake was gone, the chocolate had just kind of solidified rock hard at the bottom. I was like, I'm not going to throw that away. I paid an extra 70p for that chocolate toppings. I'm going to take it home. So I took it home, and I got a spoon, and I ate out the rest of the chocolate. Not the ideal experience. Cinemas shouldn't have paper straws for milkshakes in a film, or any drink. For a film that's over 2 hours long, there must be recyclable plastics out there that we could use. I just hate paper straws in general. Well, there we go. That's the main topics of this episode covered. I hope you enjoyed it so far. But before we wrap up, it's time for the Not Your Title news. All right, so I found a fresh story, which I've seen recently in the news, and it is definitely a weird one. A group of university students in China create a remote kissing device. And yes, it is exactly what it says on the tin. So a remote kissing device has been created by a group of university students in China for people in long-distance relationships. The 3D silicon gadget has a mouth-shaped module and is triggered through a kiss, which is then transferred to the mouth on the other side. So the idea is you will kiss this device, and on the other end, somewhere else in the world, your friend is there waiting, like mouth-to-mouth, with their own kissing device. And once you've kissed it, that device will then replicate that kiss for them. So you get to kiss each other with the use of this 3D silicon machine to share those intimate moments across the distance. See, I've not been in a long-term relationship before. No, I haven't been in one of those. What I meant to say is I've not been in a long-distance relationship before. So I don't know. Maybe people really want this thing. I'm sure there is definitely a market for this. It mimics the movement, temperature, and pressure of the kiss. Wow, so if you've got a bit of a cold mouth one day, they're going to feel that too on their end. And pressures, and links to the phones via Bluetooth and an application. So you download this app on your phone, and then it, like, pings the device? Some users called the device weird, while others found humor in it, saying that the device convinced them that having a long-distance relationship is a pretty bad idea. Okay, yeah, so nobody's actually enjoying this thing, right? Well, there probably will be. Actually, I'll put money on there being some interesting people who will find this to be right up their street. I'm just not one of them. According to the Global Times, a state-run media outlet, the invention has been patented. Well, there we go, they're taking it seriously. The lead inventor of the device told Global Times that in my university, I was in a long-distance relationship with my girlfriend, so we only contact each other through phone. That's where the inspiration of this device originated. Well, needs must and all that, but I don't know. Oh, hold on. A function in the app allows users to pair up anonymously with strangers in the kissing square. So if you and a bunch of strangers all have this device and you're on this certain part of the app, you can kiss strangers. You don't have to know them, but if you're feeling a bit lonely, you think, oh, I could do the cheeky kiss. Put your mouth up to the device and then, you know, give it a kiss. And a stranger on the other end will get exactly the same. Yeah, now there is definitely a group of people into that. But this isn't the first time this thing has been done, because in 2016, the gadget show featured the kissing app Kissinger, a sensory-stimulating technology that mimics a real kiss through a touchpad similar to this latest invention. Wow, this has been tried before. People are really wanting this for some reason. So the 2016 team created an iOS prototype that plugged into the phone's headphone jack and was triggered through the pressure put onto the device. It is slightly strange how it's actually moving and the pressure is moving around. From the Amy Williams from the Gadget Show said, "There's sort of like pressure you feel then on your lips." Wow, yeah. So this has been tried before. People have done it again. Well, long distance relationship technology. Hey, things are moving forward if you're into that. So yeah, that pretty much concludes this week's weird news story, and that definitely was a weird one. That ends the episode on such a weird note. But hey, who knows what happens here on the Daily Weekly Podcast? Don't forget to tune in next week, where I'll be talking about The Last of Us as a season in a whole. And sharing my thoughts on, well, the season finale, what I want from season 2, and I'll be joined by a very special guest who will be sharing their thoughts on it as well. So that is pretty exciting. Tune in for that next week here on the Daily Weekly Podcast. And don't forget to get your free trial of Amazon Music Unlimited for 30 days. Check out the link in the description if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening elsewhere, check out the link in our Instagram bio. Thank you very much, and I'll see you all in the next one. See you next week.